This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Okay, so we're going to get to go head-to-head and compare the Private Members Bill of Dean Smith to the Protecting Religious Freedom Bill by James Patterson with myself and Dean Arcuri and Matthew Wade.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good. From Joy and the editor of Star Observer.
What a mess, Dean.
It is the craziness. I don't even... What a day. I had a whole different show planned to look at Dean Smith's bill, and then this new bill's come and has just teared it all to shreds a little bit.
And even before today, like in the weeks leading up to it, even since we first found out about Dean Smith's bill, I know there was obviously contentious kind of issues around it within the community. People are kind of divided. However, this just adds another, and in my opinion, unnecessary spanner into the mix.
Absolutely. Well, let's look at Dean Smith's private members bill first. Now, it allows current civil celebrants to convert to become religious celebrants and reject same-sex weddings.
Yeah.
90-day period.
Yeah, so they miss that window, that's it. Right?
Yeah, so if they miss that window, that's it. Now, the important thing in regards to that is to realise that doesn't mean anyone can do anything, but under the current law, there are certain religious organisations that fit under civil celebrants, and that's creating room for them to be able to transition to where they need to.
And I don't want to get the statistic wrong, but it's a really small fraction of celebrants, right?
It is a very small fraction of celebrants that is in regards to.
Yeah.
But there's got to be another way that a space can be made. That's why it's 490 days and no new celebrants can become a part of that after the fact.
Yeah.
It replicates exemptions in the Sex Discrimination Act that would allow religious organisations to refuse to provide services.
So nothing new, still kind of, you know, rehashing what was already in existing legislation, right?
Which is true, but then if there's an existing legislation, the question becomes, why do we need something to allow religious organisations to refuse services?
Like, why can't that be updated kind of thing?
Well, yeah. It's already there, so why does it need to be provided in this bill?
Yep.
It also entrenches the ability of military chaplains to refuse same-sex weddings, but gives senior military officers the ability to conduct them.
So this is where, I mean, this goes over my head. I mean, what's the difference between a military chaplain? Obviously, that means it's a non-religious person able to do it instead of a religious person, right?
Yeah, and I think the thing in regards to this with, I think this is more in regards to the course of the military, and that needs to exist within the space that's there. So it's saying that the chaplains can't do it, but someone of a higher ranking can.
Yeah.
And that seems fine in my opinion. And it allows a minister of religion to refuse to solemnise a marriage due to religious views, creating extra protection for existing civil celebrants.
And those are the people, so existing civil celebrants that, like you said, decide to, within 90 days, change category to this religious category. That's the category you're talking about, right?
Well, that's the one that's in regard to that. So Senator Smith has said that it creates equal access to marriage while protecting religious freedom in relation to marriage. And let's be honest, this is the best bill of the two. It's the lesser of two bills that exist. This is the best one that's currently on the table. It's also important to note that this was created when the plebiscite was first put up on the table.
Yep.
It has gone through amendments and will go through more amendments after it's put into play on Thursday.
It will. And can I just say one thing, Dean? Sorry, before you get into Patterson's extraordinary bill, I just want to say, as far as I'm aware, well, not as far as I'm aware, it's a fact, Dean Smith's bill has already kind of, it was very much built upon this cross-party Senate inquiry, which happened quite a while ago. So essentially, it's already gotten the support from multiple parties. It's been through the process of being interrogated and amended and everything. And while amendments may still arise within that bill, I think we should make very clear that Dean Smith's bill has kind of already gone through quite a lengthy process to get to where it is now, and Patterson's bill has just kind of sprung up
exactly
today.
It is the best thing on the table going forward, and there is still room within it. Dean Smith has said there's still room within it, and he will expect there to be further amendments before it finally passes.
Yeah.
Now, there's the James Patterson bill, Protecting Religious Freedoms. Now, according to the press release on James Patterson's website, this bill expands the definition of marriage to include same-sex couples, granting them freedom to marry for the first time in Australia.
So far, that's good.
That seems okay. It ensures ministers of religion and celebrants who hold genuine beliefs in the traditional definition of marriage have a right to refuse to solemnise a same-sex marriage.
So I guess, sorry, and just to make it clear, I mean, I'm just putting it in layman's terms. So that basically is not that dissimilar from Dean Smith's bill, but the difference is they're not separate categories, are they? They're not like...
Well, that's the interesting thing in regard to this one, because ministers of religion and celebrants who hold genuine beliefs in the traditional definition of marriage, right. That's in regard to an individual's beliefs, not the role or job that they have. Which suddenly you go, that seems odd.
Yep.
It establishes a limited right of conscientious objection to ensure no one is forced to participate in a same-sex wedding against their sincerely held beliefs.
So this is where the formal religious part of it kind of goes out the window, and it's more just about if you just don't like gay people getting married, then, you're protected, essentially.
Exactly,
yeah.
Then we suddenly start going, all right, something's smelling a bit wonky here. It protects freedom of speech so that Australians can discuss their view of marriage without fear of legal penalties.
Can I just interject? So that's basically giving people the right, if they want to say their homophobic stuff and say whatever, can I just reiterate that over the course of the postal survey process, the LGBTI legal service, I think they recorded over 220 examples of hate speech, so... Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I'm not sure what's going to happen with those, but in terms of this, I mean, does that give people license to continue that kind
of
stuff?
Well, this does seem to be the wording that is directly from his website. It enacts a narrow anti-detriment clause that prevents governments and their agencies from taking adverse action against someone with a traditional view of marriage. It does not apply to non-government organisations, businesses or individuals preserving freedom of association.
So essentially pay people that are... And I hate using the B word, but bigoted or some of the more extreme homophobic people that really do not want to see gay people get married, it's giving them as many protections as possible so that they can say this, they can deny this.
Refuse what they want.
Yeah.
And finally, according to his website, it says it guarantees parents the right to choose their children's education by allowing them to opt out of classes that conflict with their values. And when we hit that one, that's when we suddenly go, okay, this bill isn't about same-sex marriage at all. This is exactly the kind of bill that we were afraid of, exactly the kind of bill that we were concerned would be put into play, because this bill is about discrimination.
And it's funny because and I'm not sure many people in the community have noticed that over the course of the debate, a lot of the people in the No camp have made it about a lot of things other than marriage, like safe schools.
Exactly.
But even then, in my head at least, I thought, oh, look, okay, they're using that as red herrings to try to get people off track. But when it comes to the actual legislation, like obviously it's just about marriage. But as Patterson's bill is kind of indicating, they're even including stuff about... You know, same-sex education in schools and things like that. I'm like, what?
In regards to a same-sex marriage bill.
Exactly.
I mean, it's funny because we did a section of the show where we looked at the Dean Smith bill, and one of the issues was in regard to celebrants and service providers, because as a service provider, you already have the right to refuse someone service.
Mm.
But if you refuse them service on the basis of discrimination, then that is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But you could just not take the job. There's a million and one different ways in which you are protected, but also so are the rights of the individuals from any bigoted or hate speech scenario. Now, the thing with Patterson's bill, so gay couples could legally be turned away from wedding service providers. Wedding service providers, that the scope of that is quite large.
Because, it's beyond just even florists or bakers.
Exactly.
It's anything that basically is tied into a wedding, right?
And while I think all of us can respect religious organisations and respect that, you know, if the religious organisation, you have to jump through certain hoops to be married by a religious organisation, no matter your gender identity, no matter your sexuality, that is part of the case of being a part of a religion and choosing to be married by them. But remember that marriage is a legal service, not a religious one.
Yeah.
This bill legalises same-sex marriage, but attaches would be, there's a swag of exemptions and extensions to the law that are designed to protect anyone who objects to same-sex marriage or gay and transgender people.
To me, that's the worst part. Sorry to interject.
No.
To me, that's the worst part because I think, I understand to an extent, I mean, I'm a non-religious person, but I understand to an extent why, obviously, some religious protections are protected. However, this bill seems to kind of extend that way beyond religion. It's just essentially if you're against gay people getting married, well, yep, no worries. You're allowed to be that way. You can actually still deny, you know, being a part of any of that kind of stuff.
And to provide something like this into law that provides a space for refusing service or hatred in regards to transgender people is really awful, considering the fact that we still don't have the laws in place to provide them with the basic right and protection for their identity.
That's the way we're kind of going backwards as opposed to going forwards
exactly.
In terms of law reform, yeah.
This bill will allow wedding service providers, which include bakers, florists, photographers, transport providers and hotels, that will give them the right to turn away gay couples.
God, even to the even to the extent of transport and hotel. I mean, that's crazy.
A photographer shouldn't have to say, "I don't agree with your wedding," so therefore, I'm not going to take a photos of it. Just don't take the job.
Yeah,
you know, a photographer might choose to not take the job because they don't feel they can take enough photos of the people to have them. You know, there's a million and one different reasons.
Yeah,
certainly no reason to provide this kind of legal protection under Australian law.
Well, yeah, legislated discrimination.
So the interesting thing about it, and this was via BuzzFeed that we got this, I got this information. So the exemption applies to wedding-related services, and it says, for instance, a gay couple could likely be ejected from a hotel on their honeymoon, but not if they're on a holiday. So this is specifically in regard to wedding-related services. So on a honeymoon, you could be thrown out, but on a holiday, you cannot.
Wow. And then,
I love, in my mind, I think that someone somewhere is going, this is just about marriage. It's not about your lifestyle, and this is proof of that. We can throw you out of a hotel on your honeymoon, but not if you're just going for a holiday. Mm-hmm. Which just seems very strange.
100%.
Look, it protects a number of beliefs under the law, including the view that marriage is solely between a man and a woman, that sex should only be between a married man and a woman, that gender is binary, and that even the view that same-sex relationships are immoral or wrong. How is there a bill that could create that kind of division? Even in regards to the wording of the bill, the first part sentence mentions at times men and women, and the second part mentions same-sex couples. What we voted for in the postal plebiscite survey, I was about to say an election, but it wasn't. But what we all ticked was not in relation to providing religious exemption or religious services or protecting religion. It was that the Marriage Act should be amended to include same-sex couples.
That's it. And that's the worry, because now that this is kind of happening, it's like, well, we've already voted. It's too late. We weren't deciding on this. We were just deciding on whether, as you just mentioned, that it should be between that it can be open to all sex and genders, you know.
And the amount of anxiety that the people in our community already have in regard to what's the result this Wednesday is huge. And then to add this bill in on the Monday is terrible, because this bill protects, it enshrines a right to hold, express, and act on those beliefs and override any state or territory laws that infringe on those beliefs in order to prevent discrimination against LGBTI people. Just like in many parts of previously in America, where you could be married in one state but not in another. If an individual working for a government organization in one state doesn't believe or agree with the right of your marriage certificate in the state that you have moved to, that is going to cause a problem for you.
Yeah.
That is not equal rights.
Well, my question to you, and I guess people that are listening as well, is just essentially, you know, before this most recent bill, Patterson's bill, I was under the impression that Dean Smith's bill had the majority of support, and if it were to be put forward in Parliament, it would, we'd get over the line. It wouldn't even be necessarily a worrying thing. It would likely get over the line. Does this throw a spanner in the works, or is it just kind of there? I mean, the support is still largely behind Smith's bill. So.
Well, Smith has said he is definitely putting the bill on the table on Thursday. Mm-hmm. So, and it is the bill that already has a lot more support and a lot more worth behind it. I think this is a bill that's been thrown in to cause a lot more problems in the lead up to the result.
Maybe even to delay it, you know?
Well, we've seen so many polls say the majority of the result is going to be a yes for Wednesday. And while we all have our fingers and toes crossed, that doesn't necessarily mean that's going to be the case. But that's exactly what we've seen going on. So, this is stuff that's been created to cause problems within Australia's community as a whole, as far as I'm concerned. But the biggest issue I have in regard to this bill, even though there is so much terrible and hatred stuff in it, is that the bill would also create a right for parents to pull their kids out of class if the content taught convenes their beliefs against same-sex marriage and sex outside of marriage. Why is the Safe Schools program being brought into this again?
Exactly.
This is about marriage. This is not about schools. This is not dragging children into something that this is not what this is about. We are not asking for children to get married. But the biggest issue is that once again, within legal spaces and political spaces, the Safe Schools program is being used as a tool and represented so wrongly.
And it is really, a tool is the right word, a weapon also, I think, because it also, you know, irrespective of what happens with this bill, people seeing it or people hearing about it, you know, it just instills that fear in people, like, oh, you know, forget gay, lesbian, trans people getting married. What about the kids? You know, think about the children. And I think even outside of the context of marriage, it's like it's a crap, you know, amendment to make. But I think, you know, it's just so silly and out of place being a part of this. And to me, it just, again, reinforces how the No campaign and a lot of the more conservative No campaigners are just grasping at straws. They're like, well, we don't really have anything tangible to actually use against it, so let's just start talking about safe schools and parents and, you know, all this other stuff at honeymoons. Like, it's just, yeah, it's actually ludicrous, but incredibly frustrating as well.
Exactly. So they're the two bills put head to head. Look, It's pretty simple. One of them is there's a reason why so many organizations have gotten behind it. There's a reason why so many organizations have stood up and said the Dean Smith bill is the bill that we are working towards, because it's already gone through the work and there are amendments that can be made. But many of our community do feel like we don't need religious protection. Mm. Why does religious protection, additional protection, need to be a thing that is given to organizations that already have it?
I think it's a really good point. And I think, and we've noticed it even through the Star Observer's channels, that often when we write about religious exemptions and discrimination within law, that erections are mixed. I think, you know, there's not necessarily a right answer, but I think that it's something that definitely divides the community. So, you know, at least with the Dean Smith bill, while there are still exemptions in place, they're nowhere near, you know, like what we see in Patterson's bill, so...
Which is true, but that's why I think it's important for all of us to step up. I know we feel like we've been fighting against a tide for 2 months, but in regards to this bill has bigoted notions in it. This bill throws transgender people under the bus. This bill does not protect gender-diverse children, and it is important that we highlight that, because this bill is certainly one that should not be passed. Whatever bill is going to go forward, we're all going to have something to say.
Yep.
But thank you for taking the time today on The Informer, Matt, for us to hash it out and go head-to-head with these two bills.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.